Okay, let's unpack this. Our deep dive today isn't just about, what you do every day. It's really about how you talk about it. We've got this fascinating document here. It basically breaks down daily routines into five key questions, and it gives sample answers, but also the linguistic tools, the specific language.
Yeah, what's really interesting, I think, is the sheer structure it provides. This isn't just casual chat, right? It's more like a framework, a way to articulate your routine clearly, effectively, and with surprising detail. Our mission really is to walk through these five areas and show you the exact language, these collocations, or you could say paraphrases that make a description really insightful.
Exactly. Turning vague descriptions into a clear picture of, well, your life structure. So we're diving straight into those five questions. We'll focus on the language that makes these ideas stick. All right, segment one, the foundation. Describe your typical weekday routine. Question one. The source gives us these essential verb phrases for the work week.
Right. And the insight here isn't just listing verbs, it's the subtle shift in meaning. For example, it doesn't just say wake up. It contrasts wake up with get up early. Small difference, but it signals something. Or, make breakfast versus prepare breakfast. Again, slightly different connotations. Planner versus reactor, maybe.
And then there's the commute. That's a huge part of the day for so many people. And the language here reflects that it's not just travel time. You commute by bus train car, sure. But the examples show using that time to read the news or catch up on the news, it's active.
Exactly. Or at work, the difference between just attending meetings and having back-to-back meetings, that tells a story. Same with focus work or concentrated work versus just, being busy.
Right. It helps categorize the day immediately.
And the resource suggests specific ways to start talking about this. Powerful sentence starts. Like, on a typical weekday, I usually, or I start my day by. These aren't just polite ways to begin. They set a clear expectation for the listener. They signal structure.
Yeah, they frame it. And the sample answer really shows this in action. It gives a specific time, 6.3 euro wake up, using the commute for messages. Then it details the work meetings, focused work, and uses specific phrases for winding down, like unwind in the evening or turn in for the night around 11. It really paints a picture of control, not just reacting.
Precisely, a controlled structure.
Okay, but structure isn't everything if you're burning out, right? So let's pivot. Question two asks, how does your weekend routine differ from weekdays? This is where it gets really interesting. Weekends, I think, often define our ability to actually keep doing the weekday thing.
Ah, yes. And the language here is all about contrast. That's the key theme. Notice the suggested phrases. Weekends are more relaxed. I tend to. And this one's crucial. Instead of X, I usually. That immediately signals a shift to the listener.
Right, you're explicitly drawing a comparison. We swap the weekday rush for having more time. So instead of waking up early, you might sleep in or enjoy a lie-in. That sounds lovely. And the activities change focus too, more towards, well, life maintenance and connection. Things like run errands, do the shopping, maybe grocery shopping, balanced with social stuff like meet friends for coffee or catch up with friends.
And what's fascinating connecting this to the bigger picture is how much the weekend language focuses on recovery. Phrases like recharge my batteries, unwind and relax. It highlights a really important insight. A healthy routine isn't just about weekday output, it's also about structured input, recovery.
Preparation.
Yeah, refueling.
Exactly. And the sample answer reinforces this. It clearly separates Saturday, maybe errands and social, from Sunday. Sunday's more about rest, maybe some prep, plan the week ahead, do the laundry. Oh, and making sure to fit in a workout or go for a hike. It's active recovery and planning.
So it's still structured, just a different kind of structure.
Precisely. Intentional downtime. Okay, so we've got weekdays, we've got weekends. Now let's go a bit deeper. Question three asks, what part of your daily routine do you enjoy the most and why? This moves from just what we do to the value we get from it, the internal payoff.
Right. And the power phrases, the collocations here, they all revolve around the mental state, the emotional benefit. Words focusing on internal shifts, unwind after a busy day, clear my mind or clear my head, or the goal of being able to recharge or de-stress.
It's not just doing the activity.
Exactly. It's the purpose behind it. Maybe it's about finding a way to practice mindfulness or just successfully switch off. The activity serves that internal goal.
And the guide insists on linking action to rationale. It's not just, I enjoy my walk. It forces you to use structures like, I enjoy X because, or it helps me to. You have to articulate why it matters. I mean, for me, it's probably that first cup of coffee in the morning before anyone else is up. And it's not really about the caffeine, you know,
Right.
it's the quiet, the 15 minutes of peace, because it lets me start the day feeling centered.
That's a perfect example. You've linked the action coffee to the benefit, feeling centered. The sample answer does this with the evening walk. It says it helps them clear my mind. And the result, they return home calmer and more focused. So that moment of enjoyment is framed as, well, a strategic tool, mental hygiene, not just random leisure.
It shows intention even in relaxation. I like that. All right, let's zoom out a bit, look at the bigger picture. Question four. Have your daily routines changed since you were a child? If so, how? This one really pushes for reflection, doesn't it?
Yes, and it helps contextualize our current choices.
Yeah.
We contrast them with past structures. Childhood routines, they're often defined by a rigid schedule, right? Fixed routines, things dictated by school hours, external forces most of
Yeah,
the time.
someone else was largely in charge of the schedule. Whereas adulthood,
Yeah.
it brings this kind of double-edged sword. On one hand, yeah, maybe greater flexibility, but that comes bundled with more responsibilities, a lot more.
Absolutely. The language reflects that shift. Things like managing household chores, having to take on responsibilities, financial, practical things that shape how you use your time.
Things you didn't worry about as a kid.
Right. And the guide mentions technology's influence the need to check emails and messages frequently. That's certainly a modern pressure. But I think the bigger insight here is about agency. Who's setting the routine? When we were younger, maybe we feel nostalgic for those days, those simpler times.
Because the structure was given to us.
Exactly. Now we are the architects. We have to build the structure ourselves. And we're dealing with more variables, flexible work, maybe kids' schedules, finances. It's complex. It's not just about turning off your phone.
So the language helps frame that shift from externally imposed structure to self-managed complexity and responsibility.
Precisely. It highlights the proactive choices and obligations driving adult routines.
Okay, so bringing it all together, what does this mean for actually doing it day to day? The final question, question five, is maybe the most practical. How do you manage to keep a healthy routine despite a busy schedule?
Yeah, this part shifts gears completely. It's all about strategy and optimization now. Less description, more prescription. And the language reflects that. It's full of planning and boundary-setting terms. Things like plan ahead, schedule in advance, practical methods like meal prep or prepare meals in advance, and that powerful idea of block out time or time blocking. These phrases signal organization.
And I like that it includes mindset stuff too, not just logistics. It's not enough just to plan. You need to set realistic goals. That feels important. And boundaries are key, actively trying to limit screen time or making sure you take short breaks, quick breaks during the day.
Yes. And this leads to what I think is the core philosophy offered here, the emphasis on consistency over perfection. That's a really powerful strategic concept. It acknowledges that, hey, some days we'll go off the rails. Life happens.
Right. You won't hit it perfectly every day.
Yeah, exactly. But the real goal is to maintain consistency in the habit itself over the long haul. And the language provided helps you articulate this strategy. Notice the phrasing, I try to. What helps me most is my strategy is to tut. Using these makes you sound intentional, disciplined, and resilient. You have a plan for when things get tough.
Okay, wow. So we've basically just unpacked a whole template, a way to analyze and talk about the structure of our lives using these really specific intentional phrases, covering weekly structure, the weekend contrast, what we enjoy and why, how things have changed, and finally, management strategies.
Right. And looking back over it all, the resource implicitly gives us a couple of overarching communication tips, things that work far beyond just talking about routines. First, vary your sentence openings. Don't start everything with, I do this, I do that. Mix it up with things like, I usually. Generally speaking, maybe, to be honest. Just sounds more natural, more engaging.
Keeps it from sounding robotic.
Exactly. And second, use linking phrases. Connect your ideas logically. Use words like, as a result, in addition, wah, on top of that, wah. These take a simple point and build on it, adding depth and showing your reasoning.
So it's about combining the right words, these collocations, with reasons and examples. That's how you get length and, well, coherence. Makes you sound like you've actually thought about it.
Precisely. It's the difference between saying, I walk in the evening versus, well, I usually try to take a short walk in the evening, and as a result, it really helps me to clear my mind, so I tend to return home feeling calmer. See the difference?
Yeah, much richer. It explains the why. Okay, so here's a final thought to leave everyone with. If just knowing this kind of intentional language lets us explain our routines so clearly, What happens if we flip that? What if we consciously use this clear, powerful language, not just to describe the routines we have, but to actively define and plan the routines we actually want? Maybe try using some of these power phrases, these qualifications, not just to report on your week, but to plan your ideal, intentional week ahead. You know, what are you going to proactively block out time for this coming Sunday? Something to think about.